And welcome to the Net Positive Podcast. I am your host, Ted Flanagan, and for this episode, we're joined by Laurel Rothschild. She's the Vice President of Programs for the Energy Coalition, one of California's most important nonprofits in the energy space. Laurel, thank you so much for joining the Net Positive Podcast. It's great to see you here today.
Great to see you as well, Ted. Thanks for inviting me.
Sure. So let's go all the way back. Born and raised where?
So I was born in Los Angeles, Van Nuys. I lived my life then in Riverside County and Orange County the rest of through my adult life so far.
Now, I thought you went to Laguna Beach High School.
I did. So yeah, I lived in Riverside up until through elementary school. And then I moved into Laguna Beach through middle school, high school, graduated as an artist in 99.
In 99.
Proud artist.
Yeah. Oh, so that they were still the artists then.
Yes. You know, yes, they were. Now, I like how I just revealed my age in the first 2 minutes of this conversation. Yes.
Well, I was in Laguna. I lived in Laguna Beach, and I was in Laguna Beach when we changed the name from the Artist to the Breakers. And it was a really big deal there because the football team, those poor guys, you know, being an artist on a football field is not is not what you want to be. But then go ahead.
Well, let me just say to that, because as an artist, we were the only artist in the entire nation, and ESPN would actually come out and record one of our games once a year because we were the only artist. So I was a bit disappointed with the name change, but that's, we can move on.
And Laguna is so well known for the arts. It's just fantastic. And I asked my daughters who are here whether they knew you. I think you were there a little bit before them, but not too much further before them. And then what did you think about when you were a kid? Were you always involved with energy and environment, or what was your thing when you were a little kid?
I wish I could say yes, but you know, growing up as a kid in the 80s, recycling was kind of the hot thing to do. But beyond that, there wasn't a lot of attention on it. And my father was an electrician. So, you know, definitely got me interested and just, I'd say, you know, engineering, science, math, those were always my passions, but I didn't really actually explore any of the idea of sustainability or, you know, environmentalism until college. I learned a little bit more and started taking some courses on it, but really was not exposed to much before then, to be honest.
Yeah. Interesting. And college was UC Santa Barbara. Right?
Yes. The best school there is.
What a wonderful place to go to college. Jeez. And you were business economics or something like that?
Yes. Business economics. Unfortunately, it's no longer a major, but it was essentially the major I selected that I thought would get me a job post-college because I had no idea what I wanted to do. I'm always so impressed when folks, you know, grow up and they know exactly what direction they want to go. So yeah, but I took some industrial economics and some game theory. I took some renewable energy courses that really got me interested in the energy side of things.
Yeah. And then did you go directly to the Energy Coalition after college, or did you have a few stops in between?
Definitely a few stops in between. I actually was real estate, went into real estate for a hot minute, really interested in, you know, it was the kind of the boom then and realized very quickly that I didn't want my face plastered on the side of a park bench. For me personally, that wasn't the direction I wanted to go. And so
Nothing against the park bench.
Nothing against it at all. But I actually fell back into accounting temporarily because I didn't want to know what I want to do. I actually even worked for the state parks, considered becoming a parks ranger. And then I temped for one day at the Energy Coalition because I work for an accounting temp firm, which, you know, lots of opportunity there. Yeah. And just was in the Laguna Beach office one day.
Yeah.
Just for a day. And I it's hard to say exactly what it was, but I immediately thought, this is where I want to be.
Great.
And it kind of hit me. And so I saw if there were any openings. They had an opening in the Penny Saver. Who remembers the Penny Saver? And I applied to be at the front office, front office assistant, and was hired pretty quickly after that.
Yeah, that is so great. That is great. And then you I know you've been there for like 15 years. So you rose up in the ranks and now you're in charge of all the energy programs, right?
Yeah, 16 years, if I can believe years. It. Yeah, okay. Yeah, 16 years now. And I'm overseeing all of our energy programs. So vice president of energy programs. But what's been so wonderful about my, you know, path at the Energy Coalition is I've been able to touch everything there. So on our operations side and our program side and at every level of our programs and all of them. So I feel quite fortunate to have had the path rather than coming in, you know, where I am now from another organization, you know, being able to grow with the organization has been just such a unique experience.
Yeah, that's great. Well, the organization's lucky to have you. I can say that definitively. Now, if you had to describe the Energy Coalition, sort of the elevator pitch, go ahead, give a short description to somebody you meet in an elevator who had never even heard of the Energy Coalition.
Oh, wow. Well, first of all, everyone should have heard of the Energy Coalition, right? No, but we're, it's a California-based nonprofit that is really focused on, you know, supporting communities to, you know, see the transformation for our energy future. A lot of things are changing quite rapidly in the energy world, which is exciting, but we're really here to help guide the way, working with local governments, students. We work with young children on the education front and really, being that support that's needed to, understand what direction to go and how they can be part of this change.
Now, the old school thinking would be that utilities provided all the energy efficiency incentives and sort of guidance to their consumers and would usher in distributed energy resources. Why was there this need for a third party, or in fact, quite a few third parties in this equation?
Yeah, I mean, great question. Yes, and still, if you look across the nation right now, a lot of utilities are the ones designing and delivering energy programs. But I think, you know, often you can maybe step back and realize that perhaps there are other individuals that may be better suited to just think about what types of programs communities really need. And so from our experience working directly with organization like local governments really have a strong understanding of what their communities need, think about what they do and the services they provide their communities. So from our perspective, there's a real natural fit for local governments and other groups to actually present these types of programs and design them and implement them or run them in the communities they serve.
Yeah, and that's well put. And the essentially, you know, the Energy Coalition, we could talk more about the programs, but as I like to put it, wrestled money away from the utilities and said, hey, give us a chance. These are public funds, public benefits charge monies, or these are public funds. Give us a chance to see if we can't implement programs more effectively and efficiently. And that's what happened, right? I mean, all these partnerships, the coalition was, in fact, when I was there, we were running the very earliest partnerships. And then these partnerships, which were basically, like you said, local governments and stakeholders, were able to get money. The PUC allowed the money to come directly from the utilities to these organizations. And the results have been dramatic, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was really transformational if you think about it. And Ted, you were there on the ground floor of all this. So it's really great to talk to you about it. But it was really making that case that there are other entities out there that have the ability to actually properly manage and design these types of programs that can benefit the communities. And you know, that was started in the 90s, from my understanding, and here we are in 2022. And it's really expanded beyond the local government partnership concept that the Energy Coalition really pioneered to now where we have regional energy networks, which are groupings of local government entities that are actually administering, you know, these portfolios of funds, which has grown significantly. And then now CCAs also getting in, community choice aggregators that are also playing in this field and seeing these energy programs as the brand for their own organization as well.
Yeah. Now let's take each one of those sequentially. The partnerships, have they ended now after a very healthy run
Have they ended? Not exactly. They're not like how they looked when you know, over their probably the height, and which is the early, you know, around 2010, 2012. You know, but really, I'd say they've transformed. So we're not seeing a lot of local government partnerships as we've seen them previously. I'd see a lot of those programs and efforts have transformed and evolved into programs under the Regional Energy Network, which again, as a, you know, these regional energy networks, the oversight is actually local government. So these are local government entities that are now kind of managing the entire process, which with the local government partnerships, there was a lot of control over local governments, but there's still oversight by the utilities. So I'd say they've evolved.
Right. Okay. So then the RENs, I know that the Energy Coalition was very instrumental in forming the Southern California REN. Was that the first REN?
So there was two RENs that were started in you know, you could say they were authorized in 2012 from the Public Utilities Commission. And that's the Bay Area Regional Energy Network, Bay REN. There is also the Southern California Regional Energy Network. So those were the two that that initially started, and they really evolved from the you know, ARRA funding period. You know, those are entities that had started really leveraging these outside funds to design programs from the you know, what we called the Obama bucks at that time, or the EECBG, and Energy Efficiency Conservation Block Grant. I'm trying to avoid acronyms, Ted. It's hard in our industry, but it is.
You're doing well.
Yeah, thank you. Well, and so you know, those RENs started the trend, and since then we've had two additional RENs that have been authorized.
So if I'm a municipal government in Southern California, and I've got a city hall building, and I know that I need help upgrading the HVAC or something like that. In the old days, you'd go to the utility website, or you call your account rep and you say, what do you got in terms of incentives? But now that same government official would call the SoCal REN and have a consultation and figure out what incentives and services are available. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, that's a great way to put it. So for the SoCal REN, each REN has its own portfolio of programs. The SoCal REN has several programs that are offered directly to public agencies. So that could be a city, a county, school district, K through 12, you know, water district. And so if you're, you know, someone from a city that needs this, sees an opportunity to upgrade one of their facilities, absolutely can reach out to the SoCal REN and receive a lot of, quite a large number of services at zero cost to them and help navigate the entire process.
And has this been more cost effective than in terms of getting verified savings than the utility programs?
Great question. Yeah, I would say absolutely. One key difference I've seen from the utility programs, because I personally have a lot of experience navigating the utility programs over the years, difference between those programs to what we see on the RENs, is that there is a real incentive to support you know, this city all the way through the process. So rather than coming in and just saying, hey, we got this program and there's incentives, but you got to handle X, Y, and Z, we're really handholding them. So the investment made up front, we can see through to a completed project, rather than, you know, a lot of audits that might be shelved and nothing happens with them. We're really committed to seeing that project all the way through. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've seen has been a unique difference. And so in that we see more savings actually coming to fruition.
That's great. Congratulations. And then you said you're the vice president of energy programs. So we've talked about a little bit about the partnership, a little bit about the REN. You mentioned the student program, I guess it's Peak Student Energy Actions, is still going strong. What else is that in your umbrella, your portfolio of programs?
There's quite a number. I will go back and say Peak actually retired, Ted. Can you believe it?
Well, Peak retired.
Peak retired. The name, it's evolved. I'm going to say evolved now for everything, yeah. But it evolved into the Energy as Everything program. So now we're called Energy as Everything. Same core concept. A lot of this, the curriculum carried over, but it was time to kind of open a new chapter for our education programs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I will say Peak was the original Energy Coalition program. And so, you know, the Energy is Everything program is offered statewide in California. We've also are still in Sweden and a couple other spots. But outside of that, we are also embarking on some EV education efforts. So for K through 12 as well. So working on some new curriculum there and really trying to educate this next generation of drivers. And I'll always say I have a 9-year old and a 6-year old daughter. I don't believe either of them will drive anything but an electric car in their life.
Yeah.
So it's really great to see, you know, a forward movement there. And then we also have work on an advanced energy community in a under-resourced community in Los Angeles. We're really focused on doing a lot of work there. And I can expand on that if you like. And then we have a number of other small programs we embark on that support our other efforts. We're up in San Luis Obispo and North Santa Barbara County doing a lot of work with local communities, similar to what we do with the SoCal REN. And we also have some work we're doing with Orange County Power Authority, which is a CCA in Orange County that just launched service in April. Very exciting. Like to say, I think they're the greenest CCA currently in the nation. And we're working to help design their portfolio of programs down there. So that's really exciting.
Good stuff. Wow. Well, congratulations on all these programs, and the importance of the coalition has just continued to grow. And the importance and the impact have continued to grow. You're involved with this thing that's called the CAKE, right? I kind of go back in this biz. I remember the California Board for Energy Efficiency that was considered years ago to sort of manage all the energy efficiency programs at the utilities. Is the CAKE, describe that. Is that the guiding body that's guiding how energy efficiency programs are funded and delivered in California?
Yeah. So CAKE is another one of our amazing acronyms. And so the California Energy Efficiency Coordinating Council is what that stands for. And, you know, it was an organization that was authorized, you know, I keep using this term authorized by the PUC. And they really saw, you know, it doesn't have any authority. I think it's important to highlight that. But what they really see is an opportunity for a variety of stakeholders to come together that are invested and interested in energy efficiency across California to have this really open forum to collect feedback. And if, like you said, help kind of guide the direction. So there's recommendations that can come from the CAKE. But again, they don't have any authority, but they have the right people at the table that are taking note, and we've seen a lot that has come of the CAKE that has then developed into policy based on those conversations.
And what's the current stuff? I mean, I would think that it's all about microgrids and energy resilience and dealing with the PSPS, the public, what is it, public safety power shutoff event.
Is that
kind of the latest thrust in terms of the conversations?
Oh, we'd love that, but it's still a bit siloed up in PUC land. And I, you know, I think there's a lot of attention on how to break those down and as best possible. But, you know, right now the CAKE as it stands is really limited to energy efficiency and what happens in the energy efficiency world, which, you know, can be shocking to some people to understand that there's almost $1 billion a year an investment in energy efficiency programs in the state of California a year. So there are a lot of issues and topics to discuss on energy efficiency. Where that carries on beyond energy efficiency is to be determined in the future, whether that's a similar, I believe there's interest to have similar organizations such as CAKE to see if that's a model that can carry over for you know, resiliency related to microgrids and demand response.
Yeah. You mentioned the silos, and that has been, the silos have been discussed for decades in California, and the inefficiency really of having these separate buckets of money. Like you're going into a municipal building through the SoCal REN programs, and yes, you might have incentives for the chillers or this and that, but you can't really talk about solar or storage at that visit. That's a separate deal, right? So there's a fundamental inefficiency there that I guess we're just stuck with.
Well, I have to say, a benefit of the RENs, you know, that we could have a whole podcast dedicated to the benefits of RENs, but in SoCal REN as an example, they have recognized that the silo is limiting. And when you're talking to a local government, no one wants to hear, you can't talk about that with me. We're limited to this. Like, I only could talk to you about lights or whatever it might be. So SoCal REN has solved that by bringing in other funding. So leveraging other funding to supplement the SoCal REN programs. And so that other additional funding can go beyond energy efficiency. So we can sit down with going back to that city that wants to talk about HVAC and say, hey, have you thought about electric vehicles or solar and storage? What are your goals for this building? And so we can now do that. You know, sometimes it's challenging and the funding cycles, but we try to deal with that on the back end. And so we can deliver what is really needed to provide the value needed in that community. So
where are those funds coming from? You mentioned Obama bucks and you mentioned ARRA and you mentioned federal government money, but are there other sources for that?
So most recently we secured some funding to do some EV planning through a CEC grant. The funding for DER audits or distributed energy resources audits to things like solar and battery storage came from ARRA funding, if you can believe that's still kicking around, that LA County was able to leverage. And so we also were able to launch another program and that they're looking to expand through a California Department of Food and Agriculture for small businesses. So, really being creative and looking in wherever it is. And there's a lot of attention, of course, on the federal funding that might come out for the infrastructure bills. So, that's keeping an eye on that.
Such a great story. Where do you think the coalition is going?
Well, the coalition, the energy coalition, we go by tech. We really see ourselves continuing to help guiding the communities in the right direction. And those communities can vary, but we want to be part of this transformation in what we see beyond energy efficiency and really looking into supporting the communities that need it the most. So there's a lot of excitement around our work in the advanced energy community that I mentioned earlier, AEC, because what we're doing there is putting together a whole portfolio of solutions to transform a community and understanding how they might fit into the future. So how you can have a resiliency hub, how electric vehicles maybe integrate within their system, and how individual households have that resiliency factor, solar storage, heat pump, water heaters, all this kind of exciting technology that's evolving, but not catching on maybe as fast as some of us want, how we are able to support the communities most in need. And so I see us to continue to play that role to really, you can almost call them demonstration projects, Ted, and that's probably a term you remember from when, early days of Energy Coalition, but how we're able to just see that into action.
That's really great. I call that project that Advanced Energy Community. I always think of it as the Avocado Heights Project.
Yes, well, that's where it is.
That's where it is. And then I know that it also includes a community solar element with working with the Clean Power Alliance, our large community choice aggregator, and I think the community solar is going to go on the landfill there, isn't it? The nearby landfill?
Yes. It's actually going, it's a community park. So perhaps it is a landfill. You actually, I have to confirm that. We've had a couple different locations that we've been, we've moved around. I will say that project, as exciting as it is, it comes with a lot of challenges because a lot of the activities we're doing, you say something like community solar, well, you think, oh, that's been proven everywhere. But there's been a lot of challenges in California with community solar, as fantastic as it is. And so we're working through that. And you are right, working with CPA. And I believe that would be the first community solar project with CPA once that's installed.
Very exciting. Very, very exciting. What about you? Let's wrap up with a few softball questions. But I always think of Laurel Rothschild as one of the most positive people in the world. You've got a smile that's just magnetic, and I applaud you. It's nice to have people out there that are so positive, and obviously you're obviously very proficient. So I know you got little kids, 6 and 9. You mentioned that. I know you have a dog. You mentioned that. And you got a husband. How do you keep this all in balance?
Oh, well, first of all, thank you, Ted. It's always wonderful to hear. I love the outdoors, and a lot of people say that, but I get out as often as I can. I'm a runner. So I do a lot of running, cycling, surf when I can, and just going for walks with my girls and dog, try to drag out my husband as often as possible. But that's really, you know, exercise is my go-to.
Well, very good. It's so nice to spend this time with you and to hear about what's happened at Tech. I have to learn how to say Tech instead of the Energy Corp.
Both work.
But just keep it up. We'll look forward to hearing about the progress with all these programs and as you go forward.
Thank you so much, Ted. It's been so wonderful talking with you. I have to say, you know, it's, you know, we have to sit down one day and just chat about all the history from Energy Coalition, because, you know, our transition was around the same time. So I look forward to chatting more with you one day.
Yeah. I was there at the early days when it was not quite as organized as you got it. Put it that way.
But thank you for everything, Ted.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Laurel. Have a great day. Talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
That's it. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of The Net Positive. We'll see you next time.